messages for Paul Oakenfold. How are you? It's Anita Baymont, Connor Thompson's assistant. I'm going through the messages and just getting back with you to let you know that Hunter did get the CDs. I've listened to them and I'm excited, and Hunter has listened to them. And he's interested. So we'll give you a call back in a couple days. Yeah, so great stuff. We'll talk soon. Thanks. Bye.
Happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school. Dozens of TV stations and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Tuesday, September 13th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep for Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. RAN Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can currently get to my live journal because we still have not switched it over by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. You cannot go wrong with that. Everybody needs to be carrying more and more Newsreel, and you're helping us get Newsreel out to the general masses by talking about it. Just by going out there and talking about it, just by going out there and saying to people, hey, you know what? I want you to listen to Newsreel because I'm crazy. Whatever the reason, tell people about Newsreel so that we can circulate the show to all sorts of good people. And that way, you know, the virus and the sickness of the gradual, you know, whatever the WOG movement is, we're not too sure what it is, but it is growing, and we do know that. So if we can just kind of keep on heading out there and getting everybody thinking and talking and realizing that, you know what, maybe we should all just take the blue pill, you know, or actually, hang on, it's the red pill was the good/bad pill. So it seems that everybody else has taken the blue pill, and we WOGs are the only ones with the red pills, and we're handing that shit out like it's brain candy. Now, let's talk about some feedback straight off the top. Dear Sean, about the Venezuelan war. Now, this is the story I covered the other day where it was looking like America might just go sauntering up to Venezuela and say, hey, dude, give me your oil or we'll kill you. Well, it seems that that's entirely possible because, you know, after all, most wars are fought over resources. And with this latest attack of Hurricane Katrina, they're probably going to want to get as much of that oil as they possibly can. But anyway, this listener has written in saying, Dear Sean, about the Venezuelan war, can't say that this surprises me at all. I used to be in the military, and I've seen the plans they always have in training involve small country invasions, and there are plans for almost every country, in some cases, more than one. Now I feel this bullshit, this is bullshit. The U.S. is not built on the idea that we need to just go in and take it. So you don't think that the U.S. will just go in there and take that, whereas I think that they will. Even though that has been done many times in its short history, I know the event of this happening, I'll be on the call list in about 5 days to be struck down there, and it will suck beyond my ability to think. It is shit like this that just shows you that one day we will either, this U.S. will run all of North America, or another civil war will come to pass. I'm hoping for that second civil war, and we're more than happy to stop this crazy government of ours that feels the whole world should just bend over and just take it. Kicking Cabot by a Fury, by Furry Walk. There. Now, this is in reference to the whole, you know, we don't think that the United States will actually go and do this. I totally believe the United States will go and do that because it's logical. If you look at it tactically, it's sound. I mean, if there's a lesser country down below, they've got the resources, you have the ability to go in there and take those resources. Why not do that? Because it's unethical. Because it means you're a bad guy. Well, so what? You know what I mean? That's what they're going to be thinking. Now, I'm not agreeing with that. Ideally, I would like not to see that happen, but all I'm doing here, don't shoot the messenger. I just am going to look at that and go, yeah, that's what they're going to do because, well, it seems to be a logical choice and I can't see any reason why they wouldn't do it. The oil's there. Why don't they just go take the oil? And that's all she wrote, really. I mean, you know, unless you could come up with something other than, it's not very nice, because unfortunately, well, the United States does 5 nice things before breakfast every morning. Dear Sean, thanks for the link to the hydrogen kits. No problem. I love to serve. It is good to see someone else thinks this is doable. I just have one tiny little issue with the site. They don't say anything about protecting the pistons and exhaust systems from rusting out from all the steam and water the system is going to be generated. Ooh, I see. Maybe we should all install this into a Keith Black Hemi so it's all made out of aluminum. I've written them and asked them what they're planning to do about it if their kit isn't going to include anything to take care of that. We'll see what they have to say. It occurs to me that except for the special hydride tanks, the entire thing is doable by your average car kidder by simply building an electrolysis machine and attaching it to a pump to fill tanks. Use pressure sensors on the tanks to determine when to switch back to gasoline. Connect the tanks to a racing kit nitrous oxide injector system purchased from any local automotive store that panders to street racing. Add a few sensors and knobs and adjust the flow of hydrogen into the engine. And it's just a bit of trial and error just to get the mix right. The only thing you have to worry about is rust, a ceramic or aluminum coating on the pistons, or a replacement of the steel piston with aluminum piston, or even the whole engine with an aluminum engine would take care of the engine, which is why I said, let's do it to a Keith Black Hemi. If you're going to run and make a good vehicle for it, then what the hell? The exhaust could be replaced with aluminum as well. I think it would be the easiest way to do the exhaust system. Doing it yourself would be cheaper, too. I think I'd price a nitrous kit for a Mustang for only about $700. Now, I've got a question for all you gearheads out there. That's from Shadrach Tailroom. Thanks very much. Good to get some feedback. I got some questions for some gearhead wogs out there. As everybody knows, I have gone completely insane. And as I am, you know, building up the wog army to slowly, you know, get to space, it seems that we're going to need to get our hands on a wog vehicle. Now, I've been looking for wog vehicles, and the most wog vehicle I can find, really, that kind of fits all my criterion, would be the Chenoweth fast attack vehicles out of the United States. These are essentially glorified dune buggies that can drive over anything. Now, it could be argued, and Cybertech and I have had many, many an argument, arguing that hovercraft would actually be a better vehicle, because you get some crazy-ass hovercraft out there. The problem is legality-wise, it's hard to get a hovercraft insured to run around on city highways and streets. So, but, you know, in case examples like New Orleans, I mean, it's pretty obvious how amazingly useful a hovercraft could be. I mean, you know, if you had a hovercraft in New Orleans, you're set. I mean, there's no problems at all. So, ideally, your WOG would have 2 vehicles. You would have your daily driver, which would be your WOG vehicle, and you would have your hovercraft slash boat slash, you know, Star Cruiser, what have you. But, you know, we're about the gear here, so there's no reason why it's unethical for anyone to have 2 vehicles when one of them's a hovercraft. You know, you can quote me on that. Put that on a t-shirt. But in any case, getting back to the whole concept of the log vehicle. Now, the problem with the Chenoweth fast attack vehicle is it's big money. So I'm trying to figure out some sort of a cheap way that you could take, like, oh, I don't know, some sort of a car that you could make into a four-wheel drive vehicle. Now, I myself, in facilitating this, I picked up a 79 Ford Bronco that was on propane. And consequently, my engine has since seized, and it's now awaiting funding in order for me to fix the goddamn engine. But I do have a very handy-dandy Bronco. So I don't want to sell it because, well, you know, quite often with these old vehicles, you know, the amount of material that's there. I mean, when you look at the frame and how it's built and everything, my God, this thing would stand up to, you know, well, Hurricane Katrina. This thing's insane, you know? So you don't want to throw it out, but you'd like to have some sort of way that you can convert it and chop all the paneling off to make it into, you know, your hardcore desert dune vehicle. And now there's lots of sites on rail buggies and stuff like that, but the cost always winds up going through the roof. There's got to be a cheap way to do this. And there's got to be a cheap way that we can do this all so that we can run it off of hydrogen and keep the power up and keep it all together. You know, there's got to be some stuff out there on that. I'd like to see it so I can put it out to everyone so that, you know, we can kind of build our good road warrior armada. You know, that way we just cross over to Cambodia with our mountain army and head for the hills. Now, speaking of which, let's get to sort yourself out. Don't you love it when people ask me for advice? This is an opinion piece. Okay, dear Sean Kennedy, my parents, amongst others, seem to be enthralled with this Texan preacher guy named Joel Osteen. Ooh. Unlike the other preachers, he doesn't promote hate, but I've seen his TV program, and it all looks a bit cultish to me. I don't know. I just get an odd vibe. Okay. Apparently, he allows this stuff to be viewed for free here. Anyway, just wondering what your opinion on this guy was. Okay, now I went to this guy's website, checked everything up, and I'm here to tell you this is one slick son of a bitch, okay? Now, you've got to understand that these guys, what this is this is the way the Christian mindset works, okay? This is how Christianity works in a nutshell. Now, they aren't really bad people. Because what they want is they want peace, and they want people to live together in happiness and harmony, all that kind of jazz. But in order to do that, they recommend that there are certain guidelines. First of all, you know, a family consists of one man and one woman, and you are to crank out pops, right? You are to have children, yada, yada, yada. You are to have a respectable, good job that does not conflict with Christian morals, i.e. no porn, you don't swear. Everything is like the 1950s nuclear families. You know, oh, what's going on, Wally? That kind of a thing. You know, that's they're essentially trying to make everything the Andy Griffith Show. That's pretty much Christian reality right there. Now, there's always, you know, the Christian cops and all these guys who are like, no, we're the bastions of truth and freedom and all the rest of it. And really, you know, that goes right down to the core basis of their reality. Okay, now what this guy's done is he's taken that sort of lifestyle, crossed it with his own personal Anthony Robbins style of self-empowerment speaking, and then put it through a wicked modern bleeding-edge marketing machine to create a very slick form of Christianity that, you know, anyone who's upset with their lives can get sucked in the same way they do with a self-help program. They get generated into their nice little world there, and they carry on. And is it bad? No. I mean, the guy's probably a nice guy. You know what I mean? But make no mistake, this is fabricated. This is a fabricated reality. And what this Joel Osteen is doing, he's selling a fabricated, easily palatable reality complete with its own support group. Fantastic. He did the same thing L. Ron Hubbard did, and, you know, only he's doing it with Why Reinvent the Wheel. He's just doing it with Christianity. So, you know, what's my opinion of the guy? I don't know the guy, but I do know he's a Texan preacher guy, and my problem with it is that he's promoting Mud Hut religion, and unfortunately, when you look at the basis of his entire thing, it's based upon Mud Hut religion. So you can't have something very positive come from, you guessed it, Mud Hut religion. Because Mud Hut religion, you wind up making people easily controlled by, you know, instead of using education and science, you use this weird and kind of gray, foggy, you know, through a mirror darkly kind of religion where they say, oh, it's God's will and it's this and it's that. And I don't like lies. I don't like lies. I think that we're all big kids here. We can handle the reality of the situation that sometimes, you know, there has to be a sharp end of the stick, and there has to be someone holding the stick, and there has to be guidance and all that kind of jazz. As far as religious cultures have been tried, they've been tried for thousands and thousands of years. They work midterm. They don't work long term. And they're not big on the magic two words, which is, of course, the space program. Not a lot of space programs in Christian ideals. So when you look at that, unfortunately, I cannot give Joe Osteen's little organization there the seal of approval. He falls into the Mud Hut religion category. And, you know, other than that, I'm sure he's a really nice guy. And, you know, why not? You know, if you're into that, then fill your boots. And, you know, don't, like, tell your parents that, you know, you think they're full of shit. If they're happy believing their lie, then great, let them believe their lie. Who are you to shit on that? You know, but you don't have to believe the lie yourself. Now then, hey, SKTFM, another wonderful piece of email regarding my opinion. Oh, I'm so great. I have recently been on a flashlight kick looking for one of the small... Okay. Hey, SKTFM, I've been recently on a flashlight kick looking for the smallest, brightest flashlight for the person for a personal carry-around. I figure what you would know about this topic, maybe even discussed it before, for flashlights are a crucial part of one's kit. Any recommendations would be greatly appreciated. Okay, for light source, you don't want the brightest. Okay, that's ridiculous. That turns into a weird phallic thing. Okay, you want something that's small, which is good, and you want length of burn. Does not matter how bright it is, because in the dark, you just want some illumination. So, I would find, it's this simple, find the smallest flashlight you can find with the longest burn time. Now, not surprisingly, this will point you towards LED flashlights. I think ThinkGeek's got some on the Innova ones. Not the ones that have, like, multiple settings or whatever. Just the ones with, like, the five LEDs in the end. That's it. You know, you want to use the ones with the five LEDs because you get, like, what? Like, 25,000 hours of burn time out of it. Or you can get the one LED ones that are just, like, pretty bright. And they have, like, a red lens on it because it's, like, got five lithium batteries piling one LED. It'll go until the next ice age. That would be perfect. Okay, that's the way you want to do it. Sometimes a switch between my buddy, again, CyberTech. He picked up, it was his birthday recently. And he just got himself this very sexy aviation flashlight. You could switch between white light and red light. So you just hit a button on the end and you have like one white light, but it was like brighter than an LED. And the other one was three red LEDs, which I thought was really hot because I just keep it on the three LED setting. Use red at night so it doesn't fry your night vision. And it's also harder to see a distance in case you're, you know, doing some covert war driving type stuff. Anyway, regardless of this, I would definitely recommend LED. And instead of looking for the brightest, small is good, light is good. But go for length of burn time, not brightness. Again, what does it do? How well does it do it? And how long will it last? With light, you want last. Now, another good buddy of mine, Captain Whitebread, he gave me a really cool piece of kit made by a company called Krill. And it's an electronic glow stick. And what it is essentially really simple. You take two AA batteries. And they use some of that, you know, those Indiglo nightlight kind of things. Well, they made like a little flashlight flap that ran around the side. And they just jack in the AA batteries, turn it on, and boom, you've got like this really, it puts out about as much light as a really good glow stick when it's at its peak performance, but it holds that for like 50, 60 hours. I mean, it's for an extended light area, like a personal lantern you could carry around with you. Those Krill glow sticks are the shiznit. Let me tell you, they're hot. You can't go wrong with one of those little Krill sticks. I'm a big fan, and I think they're cheap like Borscht. They're like 20 bucks or something. Very, very sexy. Like it a lot. Now, in off-world news, this is some interesting... Oh, and that was for Immaculate Phil, was for the LED stuff. Now, in off-world news, in the Beijing News, one of the most popular newspapers in the Chinese capital, said it will launch, said the launch will occur after October 1 to 7th holiday. I guess there's a holiday from the 1st to 7th in China. It did not cite a source for its report. Now, apparently, this is the second manned flight going into space from China. The spacecraft, Shuzhou 6, will be launched from the Jinquan Space Launch Center in northwest China's Gansu province using the Long March 2F rocket. Using the Long March 2F rocket. The name of the rocket is Long March. The report said the space flight will involve two astronauts, as previously reported. Reported will last 119 hours or 5 days, the newspaper said. Technical officials have arrived at the Jinquan launching base. The Shanghai Morning Post reported earlier this month that the mission could take place as early as this month or October, citing the Zhanghai Qinghai president of the Chinese Aerospace Science Technology Corporation. The mission will differ markedly from China's first manned space voyage, the Shuzhou 5, which was a solo flight that lasted 21 hours in October of 2003. So China's getting into the space race. While we were sleeping and, you know, at the switch and trying to get our shit together and manage our oil things, China is reaching for the stars. What's the problem here? You know, it'd be great if America would just give us something to believe in, like a space program. They could probably even get people back on board. You know, I might even be willing to forgive George Bush, and that's a tall order, but if George Bush turned around and said, right, we did all this stuff so that we could get to space, I may not forgive the guy, but I might, you know, take my vote away to send him to hell. You know, I mean, because there's not much he could do to redeem himself now, other than probably try to get us to the stars. But I don't think he's even remotely about that. and he'd have to seriously get visited by Jesus in his sleep for something like that, let me tell you. Anyway, yeah, wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall for that dream? Hi, George, it's Jesus. You're fucked. I'm not real. Bye. Anyway, in armored news, a concept vehicle designed to illustrate potential technology options for improving survivability and mobility in future military combat vehicles will be shown publicly for the first time September 13th and 15th at a military technology meeting in Virginia. Now, these kind of stories really trip me out because this is a good way for soldiers to get killed. The event, the Modern Day Marine Expo, will be held at the Marine Corps facility in Quantico. I guess that's VA, which would be, what, Virginia? I'm guessing. The concept vehicle, known as the Ultra AP, Armored Patrol, was built to help the U.S. military evaluate multiple science and technology options, including ballistics and mine protection, that could benefit future vehicle design. The concept vehicle combines proven vehicle technologies with advanced materials and engineering concepts. So it's got a lot of whiz-bang, go-fast gizmos. I've looked at the vehicle. It looks kind of damnation alley. Got to admit, if somebody gave me one, it looks pretty cool. I'm a little concerned about how much armor it has. Again, I'm all about vehicles, how hard they can get hit. See, the problem is with a military vehicle, it's not like a car because it's got to be able to take a hit and keep going. Because if it gets hit and it's crippled and you're at a location, suddenly you've got, you know, however many guys are in the vehicle in a world of shit. And they will stand there and be rocketed and killed. So the vehicle really does have to keep moving. And this is why I like to follow military vehicles. Like the first-gen Humvees. Anybody down there got a Humvee they're not doing anything with? Like one of the old ones with all the armor on it? Send it up. I don't care if the gas is bad. I'll come down. I'll pick it up. I'll drive it up. Okay, how's that? You just make sure it'll make the trip. I'll come pick up a Humvee. You just, you know, tell me where to go. Because I will do anything to get one of those trucks. They're great. But now these new ones they got coming out, they've taken everything cool that made a Humvee cool, and they've ditched it. Nobody's talking about it. You know, they took all these really cool vehicles, and now they've totally wussified them, and they just suck. They're super fat, retarded SUVs now. Anyway, research and development for the Ultra, has been conducted by Georgia Tech Research Institute, GTRI, which led a unique team of research engineers from both GTRI and automotive industry. The research initiative has been sponsored by the Office of Naval Research. So far, we don't have anybody really with a name brand associated with it, but I'm sure each one of these companies has got other name brands there. So you got to be careful with that because, you know, you want to make sure that the people building these vehicles aren't just doing it to make another contract to sell these things. I mean, you got to make sure the vehicle works. I would give it to the Marines to test. Say, here, to drag it out into the ranges, beat the shit out of it, give it to the engineers, have the engineers use stolen or improvised munitions, set up courses for it, run it through, like, combat engineering trials on a range somewhere, and then see how it works. That would be my request for such a vehicle. But we'll see how they test it, see what comes out. But take a look at the thing. Anybody can find me some other pictures of that, like some links to some webpages with some good shots of that. I'd like to take a look at it. Maybe, you know. And if one could fall off a truck, well, just send it to Rant Media Studios. We're looking for a new mobile lab. In human experimentation news, also going with how, you know, the concentration camps have reopened thanks to September 11th. If you didn't know this, patients who volunteer for studies that help drug companies to develop new products are often misled into taking part, says a research ethicist in his latest edition of the British Medical Journal. Now, I am totally at a loss as to see why anyone in their right mind would volunteer their bodies to trial drugs on them. I mean, this is just a bad idea. You know, I understand you're desperate for money. I would sooner counsel people to go, you know, fight in wars and stuff like that rather than to do medical experimentation on yourself just because, you know, if you go to fight, at least, you know, you have a chance of coming back alive. Whereas if you experiment with these drugs, it's going to do something to you. You know, I can't. I had somebody send me a link about a place where they'll put you up, they'll feed you, they'll give you like $7,000 to do trials, and they're like, hey man, we should, you know, consider this as a way to make money. And I'm like, no, we should not, because it's sick and weird. It's sick and weird to have people experiment on you. Fuck that. The ethicists have called the drug companies to immediately end what they say is a cynical use of these studies for marketing purposes, meaning using these studies to sell. When developing new drugs, most pharmaceutical companies carry out open label extension studies, OLEs, which enable them to collect data after clinical trials have been carried out, but before the drug has received final approval. So the drug hasn't been approved and they're giving it to people. Many of the patients who volunteer to take part in these studies have previously been involved with clinical trials of the product and are often recruited on the basis that they're helping scientific research, which of course is a lot. But researchers investigating OLEs estimates that less than 4% of these studies were published in scientific journals that found many of the trials they looked at were dubious scientific integrity.
Ooh, there's a really strong wording coming from the British Medical Journal.
One of the problems cited by Dr. Gordon Taylor from the University of Bath and co-author Professor Paul Wainwright from Kingston University was that patients volunteering for the trials tend to be self-selecting group who's unlikely to benefit from the new group dropping out following clinical trials. This means that the samples of people on the study is not fully representative of and provides a biased estimate of safety, tolerability, which drug companies can sometimes use in their marketing promotions. So they're wiring the study is what they're doing, and that's what they're talking about. And it's unfortunate that that's what they choose to do, but it seems that are you even surprised by this? Again, in case you're feeling really, really cheerful, you might want to check out that film just came out, The Constant Gardener with Ralph Fiennes. Really, really cheerful stuff in there, you know, and just in case you're feeling absolutely fantastic and in love with the world, you know, because you're, you know, seriously, I think sometimes they make movies like this to drive up the antidepressant sales. I don't even understand how Sim can do this. Sim will do that. He'll go see these movies, like Hotel Rwanda, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I know it's important to go and, you know, be aware of the Rwandan crisis where, you know, it's like 800,000 people were murdered and chopped up with machetes, and the level of savagery has even made the most hardened combat photographers gape. But, you know, once you learn about that, it's not really healthy to focus on this kind of stuff. You know, I mean, that's got to fuck with your head a little bit, you know? I mean, if all you do is immerse yourself in just the suffering of the world, I mean, isn't that kind of bizarre? I suppose it makes it's like people who like sad endings in movies where the bad guys win all the time and everything just turns to shit, like... Of course, I'm totally bad because I do the news every day. I'm like anti-drama. I don't even watch dramas. Unless, well, could you call Black Hawk Down a drama? What would you call that? An action movie? I don't know. But I mean, I like you know, I like my war movies. I'll be honest with you. Sure, you know, me and every other guy on the planet. I mean, I dig my war movies, but I just can't get into these. I mean, I watch them and they're important to watch. Don't get me wrong. You know, and I am telling other people to watch it, but I just can't seem to, you know, it's almost like a weird duty, you know, you got this weird sort of service you have to look after that, and you got to be careful not to make sure that you don't fall into some weird marketing scam, because you know that other people eventually are going to begin to market to us guilt-ridden activists in our nice little homes talking on our computers, you know, saying, oh, you know, well, we should really do something about this. Well, yeah, we should, and we should do more than just see a movie. But, you know, it is something to familiarize yourself with. So that's, you know, again, yet another example of how the pharma fascists are, you know, going through trying to kill the poor. You know, and why would they be doing that? Oh, wait out. Now, in brain news, as a lot of people may or may not realize, I don't really believe in a lot of this attention deficit disorder and, you know, hyperactivity syndrome in children. What I think is going on is that the parents aren't home. No one's spending time with the kids. The kids are getting all kinds of issues because they're not spending time with their parents because they're supposed to. They're spending all their time in front of televisions eating totally synthetic food, and this is fucking with them, so they become hyperactive and we're screwing up our kids. So it's really hard now. And of course, this whole view is very, very popular amongst the pharmaceutical industry because they can medicate that shit. They'll feed the kids Ritalin and, you know, whatever else they can get their hands on, these little pills of, you know, medicate your children through the floor. So they're good little zombies. And not only, it's like threefold, you know, it's like a lot of these optometry joints. You get them when they're young, you warp their bodies in such a way that they're dependent on you for the rest of your life, and you carry on. You know, that's what they're doing. And, yeah, I'd say that's... You know, as a business practice, oh, it's sound. I mean, you're going to definitely be producing your, you know, client base. You're the prince of fucking darkness and you're evil, but, you know, I mean, that's your client base. And if you don't mind somebody eventually judging you for that, then that's also cool. You know, maybe I'm sure that at some point Nuremberg was at one time some kind of vigilante group. But anyway, back to the brain. I'm always keen to get, you know, news stories out there that talk about just how the brain works without all these drugs involved. Okay? In brain news, the short-term memory problems that accompany normal aging are associated with the inability to filter out surrounding distractions, not problems with focusing attention. Aha! Now, this is true of the mind. So, as you age, the problem is filtering out distractions, not the problem with focusing attention, as everyone would say. It's, oh, he can't focus. No, there's too much distraction. According to a study done by researchers at the University of California, Berkeley. So, you know, good university there. Although older patients often report difficulty tuning out distractions, This is the first hard evidence from a functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRI, studies of the brain that memory failure owes more to interference from irrelevant information and ability to focus on relevant information. So this is pretty hard science. Okay, we got the pictures, we got the magnetic fMRI scans to prove this, that distraction is more of a problem than, you know, your inability to focus. Now, it could be said that the two are go part and parcel, you know, but when you think about how often you're distracted in everyday life, you're driving, you're listening to the radio while you're driving. We've become so used to such a level of media supersaturation that the Zen monk ideal of meditating in the total silence of the frozen wasteland there, that whole concept is completely lost to us. And so this is why, you know, there's such a huge insurgence of these drugs that can turn your mind down and stuff like that, so that, you know, you're able, it allows me to focus, otherwise I'm just overwhelmed. Well, we're overwhelmed because of the black shakes. We're overwhelmed because our media, because our society, because our entire world is super saturated with what? With marketing. With carefully designed psychological weapons that are used to take over portions of your brain to take money from you. This is the entire concept in a nutshell. That's entirely what it's about here. And studies like this, if you could just get just past it, see what the study's actually saying, everything else becomes very, very clear. Difficulty filtering out distractions impacts a wide range of daily life activities, such as driving, social interactions, and reading. And how many people have problems reading? Honestly, how many people listening right now have problems reading? I have problems reading. It's hard for me to focus on reading. Why is that? Because I'm stupid? I don't think so. Of course, it could be argued. But, you know, why is it that I have problems reading? Because I'm easily distracted. Why are you easily distracted? Because you need to. The more you read, the more you want to read. The more you read, the better you are at reading. This is why it's a learned skill. And incidentally, the skill of reading and reading books is probably the greatest skill. If I could teach the whole planet one skill, I would teach them how to read English. And specifically English, because, well, there's a lot of really good English books that I know. Granted, there's probably a lot of other good books in other languages, but I don't know those languages. So if you're asking, I would say I teach the world reading English. But if I could teach them reading in their own language, I'd rather teach them in English, because then we'd get everybody on the same page. You know, of course, I'm a fan of one world government, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, but reading, which is going to greatly affect your quality of life. There's the understatement of the years. Yes, so everyone make sure you read. Thanks much. A study leader, Dr. Alm Gazaley, adjunct assistant professor of neuroscience at UC Berkeley and newly appointed assistant professor of neurology and physiology at the UC of San Francisco. These results reveal efficiently focusing on relevant information is not enough to ensure successful memory, it said. It is also necessary to filter distractions. Otherwise, our capacity-limited short-term memory system will be overloaded. He goes on and talks about this further and further as to what's involved with all that good stuff. Now, I'm here to tell you, you need to read this article. You need to take a good, solid look at that and apply that, because that's when they're getting older, because what's happening, your brain is deteriorating. Well, that's not a map of age. That's a map of brain deterioration. Okay, and it just happens that the brain deterioration is happening in older people. But if you look at that same, those exact same trends, you can find these things happening on a lesser degree in your own life. So how do you get around that? Well, first thing you need to do is you need to look at your nutrition. Nutrition, diet, and exercise. I know that I'm sounding bad, but it is all about the diet and exercise. If you don't get your diet and exercise up, you're fucked. Okay? Make sure you look into some Chinese medicine, look into natural medicine, natural herbs, load up on the garlic, load up on all the herbs that help you, use your own trial and error, be responsible for your own health. You know, a lot of people have sent me a lot of stuff asking about different martial arts styles and systems and stuff like that, and it's hard to say because you know, people give me way more credit than I am deserved. Okay, something like a flashlight, yeah, I could pretty much badassedly pick out a flashlight for you. But don't ask me to pick you out a pistol or a rifle, because I just don't have the mileage to do that. I've got a few ideas and concepts, but I haven't been out there to do that yet. But so people have asked me a lot about, you know, what martial arts should I take? What martial arts should I be getting into, Sean? I want to learn martial arts, la, 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 la. Well, more than the martial art, which, because after all, if you listen to Bruce, who's probably, you know, the man who I would say would be the dude I would listen to, but he's dead now. But talking to Bruce, he did the Jeet Kune Do thing. But if you study Jeet Kune Do philosophy, it basically says you want to choose a system that's right for you and right for your body type, i.e., you don't want supermodels up taking up sumo wrestling. That's your idea. And you don't want sumo wrestlers taking up capoeira.
So, incidentally, though, wow, what a concept. That'd be like zero-G sumo wrestling and capoeira. That's just Oompa Loompaville right there. But anyway, getting back to the whole martial arts thing, I would look at any martial arts, any time you walk into the dojo, if you walk into the dojo, look at the instructor. Is the instructor fat? If the instructor is fat, you leave. Just like that. That's my criteria. People who are serious about martial arts, it's a lifestyle choice for them. And if your instructor is out of shape, chances are it's a scam. Because if he's in shape and he's following, you know, his mental discipline, because that's really what martial arts and defensive arts are about, there's a lot of discipline involved there, the dude has to be in shape. So regardless of your art form, regardless of your art style, check out all schools, but the criteria walk in, we'll check it out. You don't even know what's there. If you walk in there and there's a lot of fat people doing weird poses and nobody's sparring, well, time to leave. You know, because it's about your physical fitness, and it's about, especially with unarmed combat. Now, this, of course, theory can be wavered if you've got a guy who's 65 who was a pit fighter for 30 years and had 4 championships. Or if you've got a shooter, you know, who went to war 5 times, got a head full of snot, but knows more about how to take somebody out at 1,000 yards than anybody else. Yeah, obviously, you listen to this. There's exceptions to that rule. But I'm just talking your general martial arts schools. You go in there, check that out, make sure that they are in shape. That would be... But that's, again, I'm a big fan of using martial arts to develop your brain. Okay, there's a lot of things going on with meditation, focus. A big fan of Qigong, breathing exercises. Whether or not all the hokey, you know, magic shit is real, it does do healthy things for the mind, and this can be proven inside a lab. So, again, stay away from the drugs. Try to focus more on tried and tested and proven techniques from Asian culture, which will show us how to improve our minds. That's my whole dream, Conan doing Zen meditations. Yeah, baby. Anyway, in P2P news, it seems that Kuro, Taiwan's largest file-sharing service, has bitten the legal dust. That is, 3 of its executives were sentenced to 2 to 3 years in jail, plus fines. So these horrible knowledge-sharing people in Taiwan are going to jail, hopefully to not be a threat to society anymore by teaching them. Kuro had violated copyright law, offering members programs and to download illegal MP3 music. Oh my god. No more music for you. According to spokesperson of the court, one of Kuro's 500,000 paying members was jailed for 4 months imprisonment for making 900 songs available to upload. Mm-hmm. Like the U.S. Supreme Court in the Grokster case, the Taiwanese court did not rule on the legality of P2P service since it was relied on some sort of indictment theory. Kuro allegedly runs advertisements and that had incurred members who pay a monthly fee of NT$99, which I suppose is Taiwan money, to swap copyrighted music files via its website. The ruling said Kuro was therefore party to infringement on the copyright law. The ruling is somewhat surprising, considering that file sharing service EasyPeer won their court case back in July. I'm not sure if there's any technological difference with Kuro that had led to a different legal outcome, but maybe the political IP pressure cooker has been on for the last 2 months. John Eastwood, the co-chairman of the Intellectual Property Committee of the European Chamber of Commerce, Taipei, said the ruling may help Taiwan be taken off the U.S. Trade Representative's watch list for IPR violations next year. Again, this is over media. This is over a movie and music. This is retarded that this is becoming a political issue over music and teaching people. You know, again, knowledge should, in fact, be free, because the only way we're going to be able to get everybody up, there's so damn few people out there who want to learn, we should definitely encourage anyone who wants to, because, you know, after all, not too many people even really care. The library should be full of people. Are they? No. There should be no books on those bookshelves because everybody should be reading them. Are they? No. Why? Because people are being, well, distracted. Again, we weren't raised, we were distracted. They want to keep us distracted so that every once in a while they can pull us out of our distraction to work. Now, in concentration camp news, this was sent to me by Pig Monkey. A federal appeals court yesterday backed the president's power to indefinitely detain a U.S. citizen captured on U.S. soil without any criminal charges, holding that such authority was vital during wartime to protect the nation from terrorist attacks. Period. So, now the government can arrest you, hold you indefinitely, with no charges, in order because they think you might be a terrorist. Maybe, sort of, kinda. So, this is really frightening for me because I like to go down to the States from time to time to visit friends and whatnot. And now, quite clearly, I could be picked up. A pretty convincing case could be made that I am, you know, this huge media terrorist, you know, talking about all these truthful stuff, you know. And thank God that I'm as right-wing as I am, you know, in the ways that I am right-wing, because, you know, maybe that might save my ass. Because I'm pretty sure that if I was, like, Noam Chomsky-level left-wing, I'd already be in jail. There's a lot I'm saying here. The ruling by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit came in the case of Jose Padilla, a former gang member and U.S. citizen arrested in Chicago in 2002. A month later, designated as an enemy combatant by President Bush. I see. The government contends that Padilla trained at Al-Qaeda camps and was planning to blow up apartment buildings in the United States. Padilla has been held without trial in a U.S. naval brig for more than 3 years. And his case ignited a fierce battle over the balance between civil liberties and the government's power to fight terrorism since September 11, 2001 attacks. A host of civil liberties groups and former Attorney General Janet Reno weighed in on Padilla's behalf, calling his detention illegal and arguing the president does not have unchecked power to lock up U.S. citizens indefinitely. Federal prosecutors asserted that Bush not only had the authority to detain Padilla, but also that such power is essential. So it's important that Bush can throw people in jail to prevent terrorist strikes. In a ruling yesterday, the three-judge panel overturned a lower court. Now, on one handle, let me get through this article. A congressional resolution passed after the September 11th, providing the president with all powers necessary and appropriate to protect American citizens from terrorist attacks, the decision said. Now, okay, let's just hang on here. On one handle, you can look at this and say, okay, was the guy actually in an Al-Qaeda camp? Was he actually there? They say, yes, he was. Great, wonderful. Okay, so if he was actually there, and you can prove he was actually there, put the bastard on trial. You put him on trial. Did you do training at the camps? Yes, yes, I want to blow up Americans in their hotels. Wonderful, you get shot. Bang, thud, thanks for coming out. Organ donors for everyone. Now, the problem here is that if they've got the data, why don't you just charge the bastard and try him? Well, what's the delay? What's the holdup? You got so many people you're trying. You better speed shit along. Okay, we got multi-billion-dollar industry here going on. Is this, you know, some kind of weird way to tie people up so that it's, you know, we'll just choke everyone to death with red tape? I don't know, man. I don't think that's really on. I don't agree with that. I think that we should be, if you want to charge the guy, I think, should they be able to arrest him? Yeah. Should they be able to hold him? Yeah. Indefinitely? No. There's no reason to hold him indefinitely. Try the bastard. Try him. See if you got the data. If you got the data, great. You know, take him to the bank. But you can't just arbitrarily, you know, let's see your intel. If your intel's good, you know, the courts will decide, yeah, quite clearly, you know, that's where it's at. You know, quite clearly the guy is involved. Quite clearly the guy is doing shit wrong. Quite clearly the guy is training at Al-Qaeda camps. So that would make you a terrorist. Goodbye. You know? So I don't understand what the delay is here. Do I think the president should be able to arrest whoever he wants? You bet. I'm even down with the fact that people, you know, in a time of war should be able to search your bag. But as for permanent arrest, no. No, that's not on. Now, in New Net News, sent in by Wyandi, I believe, because I lost a bunch of these news stories. So Pig Monkey Wyandi sent me some stories I used to say. If I got the order messed up, sorry, guys. The Motion Picture Association of America, the MPAA, and the Recording Industry Association of America, the RIAA, announced today to have joined the Internet 2 Networking Consortium as corporate members. The two organizations intend to use the Internet 2 to develop and test content distribution and digital rights management technology. So this is the new internet where nothing is free. This is why we're not going to do the new internet. I say stop Internet 2. I say abandon Internet 2. Ignore Internet 2. Walk away from Internet 2. Try to make sure that you can keep your own Internet 1 going, because there's nothing wrong with the internet. So they're going to try to create another one because they can't destroy the existing one. Believe me, they're trying. So it's important that we keep all the noobs, all the kids who come along. We have to train the next generation so that the internet will stay free. Because you can bank that once they get this Internet 2 thing nailed down, the MPAA and the RIAA are going to be going absolutely insane to try to control it. And you will be able to get absolutely nothing cool whatsoever off of Internet 2. You see what I mean? Check this story out. And it's, you know, you don't have to be a psycho prophet here. It's not like I'm doing all kind of after now time travel drugs in order to, you know, seriously try to narrow in on what they're going to do. It's very obvious what they're going to do here. Obviously, they want it to be nailed down. And what does that mean? That means no more music. That means no more Shoutcast Radio.
That means no more newsreel. That means no more cool programs. That means no more porn. That means that everything that you see and hear will be controlled. When you think of how much Server has provided to you through the chaos and the compassion of your fellow WOG, you know, really, it's amazing. And I cannot, geez, you know, of all the things that, there's so many things that just depress me that make me think people equal shit all the time. You know, all the time I've got more and more news stories about just people falling into states of anarchy. And yeah, the Robert Heinlein mind comes to mind. But when things like the internet come along, when things like Wikipedia come along, when you have these amazing tools that are available for everyone for free so that education can grow and blossom and people can become more developed and, yes, even enlightened, mobile digit. Yes, for people who can do that, it really gives me hope. I don't want there to have to be a Robert Heinlein-style Starship Trooper society. I'm not really in love with the whole concept. But I think it's the only one that will work. And when I consider that as in comparison to the Nuremberg situation that's being created by the United States right now, it's hard. It's easy to choose between right and wrong, but it's harder to choose between the wrong that is more right. And that's why I'm saying, rather than having this weird core political, you know, completely slaved out state they got going on with this, you know, with the way media is currently working and the way our society is heading, I think we should quite seriously, yes, I would rather see a Heinlein-style, you know, for lack of a better term, Starfleet-style government come into power that, yes, rapidly regulates business, sets up morals and ethics, and enforces them with real force. That's what I believe is needed. Because when you look at it the other way, well, that's when evil really will take root. And, you know, now I'm talking about evil. We're getting near Alex Jones territory when you actually give it a name and call it evil. I know. But trust me, man, when you see this kind of shit that these guys are going to be pulling and, you know, copyrighted people and slavery and no, man, no, not on. I'm not into slavery. That's probably the highest crime. I even put slavery, for the record, I put slavery as a greater crime than murder. Because when you think about it, for the amount of suffering that can be generated, the amount of slavery that, the amount of damage that being a slave does, and everything that implies that you're not even a human being, that you're just a thing, where you're in feedlot territory with human beings. Yeah, that to me is worse than murder. You'll have to, it's not by much. Don't granted, you know, that the concentration camp murder concept is lower than that. But for me personally, the biggest fear I have is of slavery. And all you have to do is look at the American prison industrial complex and go, well, looks like slavery is already here. Now, as for my really handy-dandy 28 Days Later news, I have an update on that. This is a reference to all the bioweapons and biosecurity training that was going on inside of New Orleans before Katrina came down and fucked everything up. So your update and 29 Days Later news. The biodefense labs around New Orleans appear to be okay. Defense Tech readers are finding. Now, Defense Tech is a website, very good website, by the way. Keeps track of a lot of shit that's going down. I highly recommend it. Foo, which is great, Forward Observation Observers, the guy's name, spotted this announcement from Tulane, which says that its primate center, located in nearby Covington, is already functioning under normal conditions. And veteran LSU anthrax researcher Martin Hugh Jones told Defense Tech pal Nick Schweschenbala, off the cuff, I would not expect a great threat, as without electricity, the refrigerators will slowly warm up and thus kill any stored organisms, ditto to any liquid nitrogen storage devices. The present BSL-3 labs, these are the biosecurity level 3 labs that have like the really scary Umbrella Corporation, you know, kind of Resident Evil sort of viruses going on there, now have locks, some mechanical, some electronic. So anyone wanting to break into such a lab and possibly abandoned LSU or Tulane or the LADAS building in New Orleans would have to have a sledgehammer with them, and the person would have to know exactly where to get what. Yesterday, I had the opportunity of discussing this problem with Dr. Realt Retard of the that's great, Dr. Retard, Louisiana State epidemiologist who temporarily has his office and staff in Baton Rouge. He said that they got police permission yesterday to open the this huge acronym, BSL-3 lab, and suitably supervised as they cut the chain on the door, got in, poured Clorox into their single vial of Brucella suis from a recent investigation. So it seems that goes on to talk about all their steps they're taking. So it seems that, in fact, they are controlling the bioweapons and the bio stuff that's going on inside of, you know, the labs there. So that's something to think about. I would be the guys who just said that, well, you know, well, without power, you know, the thing will just stay closed, yada, yada, yada. We chained the doors shut. Well, we're talking about a hurricane that picked up, you know, entire casinos and moved them down the block. So busting through a chain is not really going to be a huge issue for this Hurricane Katrina thing. So I would, again, be watching the news for the next few months just to see what kind of diseases show up for the people in the local area of New Orleans or people that were in the water, which, of course, all the insurance companies are going to be totally paying big bucks to downplay that so they don't have to pay any kind of cash out for, you know, being touched by all this bioinfectious waste, so on and so forth. And if there was so much, you know, safety involved with all these bioepidemics, why are they forcibly removing people if they're that concerned, so on and so forth? There's a lot of things that don't really add up here. We'll have to watch and shoot. It could be true that they've got it all controlled and everybody is doing this just for the general safety of everybody, but something to look out for. Now, in global crackdown news sent in to me by Rogue Trooper, thank you very much, Rogue, as well as others have sent me this one as well, but the head of Britain's security service has warned that civil liberties across the world may have to be sacrificed to prevent further terrorist attacks. Now, what the hell is the point if the guy is sitting there saying, by the way, just so you know, just so we're all on net here, I'm going to be taking away your right to keep and bear arms. You know all these rights that you guys have? Yeah, we're going to ditch those. So just a bit of a heads up for you. You're going to have to come in on Saturday because we're going to take your rights away. Now, what the hell? No. You know, I think somebody should write a letter to the head of Britain's security services and let him know that when they come to try to take our rights away, we'll fight them. Thanks. Because we're not giving them up. Thanks. If you want to promote violence in your neighborhood, this is the way to do it. Apparently, Eliza Manningham Bueller, MI5 Director General, also said that the four suicide bomb attacks against London Transport System on July 7, which killed 52 people, has been a shock. And the security services were disappointed that they had not thwarted them. Yes, I'm sure they were. But unfortunately, we used to have all kinds of IRA bombings and everybody kept their rights. The world has changed. No, it hasn't. And there needs to be a debate on whether some erosion of what we all value may be necessary to improve the chances of our citizens not being blown apart. I love the way they got so significant until they got to blown apart as they go about their daily lives, she said. Well, you know, that's a wonderful spin. Nice try. What happened to business as usual to not allow the terrorists to win? What happened to that? Winston Churchill, where are you when we need you? Mannheim Buller's comments made in a speech to the Dutch security services in the Netherlands on September 1, but only published on the MI5's website on Saturday, backed the position taken by the British government since the London attacks. This is because the British government is so deeply in bed with the United States, it's not even funny. This is why, you know, the Downing Street memo papers, so on and so forth. So Bush and Blair are two little bees in a pod there. They're going to just be really cool, hanging out, and bringing in their terrorist state. Well done, you. Follow that story. You know, it's kind of like no duh that they're still singing that song, but, you know, this is, again, your sit rep. Daily Hacks today. A WOG account of Katrina by the Interdictor. This is a LiveJournal account. I've got a link to the first one where he goes, hey, this storm looks like it's going to be bad. You got to follow all the stuff this guy does. This is as good as intel as you are going to get on the Katrina situation. I would list this as recommended reading for all WOGs, just because you will really get the solid, good ground intel. You will learn the most from this. Some of it is not glamorous, but it shows his need for diesel, fuel, power, that kind of thing. This is very, very good stuff. And as far as intel goes, this is as good as it gets. And the Computer Network Defense Internet Operations picture, thanks to Kizzle. This is a little weird, and I don't know how good this is, but it looked kind of neat. It looks a little War Games. This looks a little hokey. But I guess their data may be good. The Computer Network Defense Internet Operations picture was designed and built to cater for the demands of government and military networks requiring near real-time information on new and emerging cyber threats. It's publicly available, and lack of corporate identity has resulted in almost every industry, including some home users, taking advantage of it either on an occasional basis or full-time on plasma screens. The page auto-updates every 20 minutes, drawing information. This is pretty wild. Three times an hour, this thing updates. So check it out. Could be good for you. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 66 people. Thank you, everyone who's donated. I know that we're reaching several thousand people with this, and it's nice that 66 of them feel the need to keep it on the air. And if you would like to join those ranks, please visit randmedia.ca and click on the donate tab, because every little bit does, in fact, help. And, after all, I got to get the cash together to buy one of those cool armored vehicles. Thanks again to everyone and your assistance in gathering data and or kit and or presence. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album called Cryonica Tans Volume 2. It's a double album. I'm going to leave you now with a track by Megadeth, Blackmail of the Universe. A shout out to El Choro. Thanks so much. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.